Beginning of the End, Chapter 64, David Flees. This chapter is based on 1 Samuel chapters 18 to 22. After Goliath was killed, Saul kept David with him, and would not let him return to his father's house. And the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan and David made a covenant to be united like brothers, and the king's son took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. Yet David preserved his modesty and won the affection of the people as well as of the royal household. It was clear that the blessing of God was with him. Saul felt that the kingdom would be more secure if someone could be connected with him who received instruction from the Lord. David's presence might be a protection to Saul when he went out with him to war. The guiding hand of God had connected David with Saul. David's position at the royal court would give him a knowledge of statecraft and would enable him to gain the confidence of the nation. Hardships that he experienced through Saul's hostility would lead him to feel his dependence upon God. And the friendship of Jonathan was also in God's plan, to preserve the life of Israel's future ruler. When Saul and David were returning from battle with the Philistines, the women had come out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. One company sang, "Saul has slain his thousands," while another company responded, "And David his 10,000s." The king was angry because David was exalted above himself. Rather than subdue his envious feelings, he exclaimed, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" Saul's love of praise had a controlling influence over his actions and thoughts. His standard of right and wrong was popular applause, and his ambition was to be first in people's estimation. A settled conviction entered the mind of the king that David would obtain the heart of the people and take his throne. The demon of jealousy enters Saul's heart. Saul opened his heart to the spirit of jealousy that poisoned his soul. The king of Israel was opposing his will to the will of the Infinite One. He allowed his emotions to control his judgment until he was plunged into a fury of passion. He had fits of rage, times when he was ready to kill any who dared to oppose him. From this frenzy he would lapse into despondency and self-contempt, and remorse would take possession of his mind. He loved to hear David play the harp, and this seemed to charm the evil spirit away for the time. But one day, when David was bringing sweet music from his instrument, accompanying himself as he sang praises to God, Saul suddenly threw a spear at him. God preserved David, and he fled from the rage of the maddened king. As Saul's hatred of David increased, he watched all the more intently for an opportunity to take his life, but none of his plans were successful against the one anointed by the Lord. David trusted in him who is strong to deliver. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9, verse 10. And David's prayer was that he might walk before God in a perfect way. The people quickly saw that David was a competent person. With wisdom and skill, he managed the matters entrusted to him. The counsels of the young man were safe to follow, while at times the judgment of Saul was unreliable. Saul was afraid of him, since it was evident the Lord was with him. The king felt that the life of David cast reproach on him, since by contrast it presented his own character as inferior. Envy made Saul miserable. What great mischief this evil trait has worked in our world! Envy is the child of pride, and if it is allowed to remain in the heart, it will eventually lead to murder. The king kept watch, hoping to find something to serve as an excuse to take the young man's life and still be justified before the nation for his evil act. He laid a trap, urging David to fight against the Philistines with still greater vigor, promising the oldest daughter of the royal house as a reward. David's modest answer to this offer was, "Who am I and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" The monarch showed his insincerity by marrying the princess to someone else. Michal, Saul's youngest daughter, was offered to David on condition that he give evidence of having slaughtered a specified number of their enemies. Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. But David returned as victor from battle to become the king's son-in-law. Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And the enraged king was still more sure that this was the man whom the Lord had said was better than he and who would reign in his place. No longer concealing his feelings, he ordered his officers to take the life of the one he hated. Jonathan reminded the king about what David had done to preserve the honor and life of the nation, and what terrible guilt would rest on anyone who murdered the one whom God had used to scatter their enemies. The conscience of the king was touched, and Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed." David was brought to Saul, and he served in his presence as in the past. David leads the victorious army. Again the nation declared war, and David led the army against their enemies. The Hebrews gained a great victory, and the people praised David's wisdom and heroism. This served to stir up the former bitterness of Saul against him. While the young man was playing, filling the palace with sweet harmony, Saul's anger overcame him, and he hurled a javelin at David, but the angel of the Lord turned aside the deadly weapon. David escaped and fled to his own house. Saul sent spies to take him in the morning and put an end to his life. Michal informed David of her father's intentions. She urged him to flee, and she let him down from the window to make his escape. He fled to Samuel at Ramah, where the prophet welcomed the fugitive. It was here, among the hills, that the honored servant of the Lord continued his work. A company of prophets closely studied the will of God with him and listened reverently to Samuel's words of instruction. David learned precious lessons from the teacher of Israel, but David's connection with Samuel aroused the jealousy of the king, who feared that the prophet would lend his influence to advancing Saul's rival. The king sent officers to bring David to Gibeah, where he intended to kill him. God restrains evil. The messengers went on their way determined to take David's life, but one greater than Saul controlled them. Met by unseen angels, they began to speak prophetic sayings and proclaimed the glory of Jehovah. Thus God revealed his power to restrain evil. Saul, exasperated, sent other messengers. These were also overpowered by the Spirit of God and united with the first in prophesying. The king sent a third group, but the divine influence fell on them also, and they prophesied. Saul then decided that he would go himself. As soon as he would come within reach of David, he intended to kill him with his own hand, whatever the consequences. But an angel of God met him, and the powerful Spirit of God took control of him. He went forward uttering prayers to God, with predictions and sacred melodies. When he came to the prophet's home in Ramah, he set aside the outer garments that indicated his rank, and lay before Samuel and his pupils under the influence of the divine spirit. The people were drawn together to witness this strange scene, and the experience of the king was reported far and wide. Saul assured David that he was at peace with him, but David had little confidence in the king's change of heart. He longed to see his friend Jonathan once more. Conscious of his innocence, he found the king's son had made a touching appeal. "What have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" Jonathan believed that his father no longer intended to take the life of David. "By no means, you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing either great or small without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." After the remarkable exhibition of God's power, Jonathan could not believe that his father would harm David, because that would be rebellion against God. David hides from Saul. But David was not convinced. He declared to Jonathan, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." At the time of the new moon, Israel celebrated a sacred festival. Both David and Jonathan would be expected to appear at the king's table, but David was afraid to come, and it was arranged that he would visit his brothers in Bethlehem. On his return, he was to hide in a field not far from the banqueting hall, absenting himself from the presence of the king for 3 days. Jonathan would observe the effect on Saul. If the king made no angry demonstration, then it would be safe for David to return to court. When David's place was vacant the second day, the king asked, "Why has the son of Jesse not come to eat, either yesterday or today?" So Jonathan answered Saul, "David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem, and he said, 'Please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers.' Therefore he has not come to the king's table." When Saul heard these words, his anger was uncontrollable. He declared that as long as David lived, Jonathan could not become king. David should be sent for immediately, that he might be put to death. Jonathan again pleaded, "Why should he be killed? What has he done?" This only made the king more satanic in his fury, and he now hurled at his own son the spear intended for David. The prince was sad and offended. Leaving his father's presence, he went at the appointed time to the spot where David was to learn the king's intentions. They wept bitterly. The king's dark passion cast its shadow on the young men, and their grief was too intense for expression. Jonathan's last words to David as they separated were, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" David hurried to Nob. The tabernacle had been taken to this place from Shiloh, and Ahimelech, the high priest, ministered here. The priest looked at David in astonishment, as he came hurriedly and apparently alone. He asked what had brought him there, and in his desperation the young man resorted to deception. David told the priest he had been sent on a secret errand by the king. David's faith fails. Here David showed a lack of faith in God, and his sin resulted in the death of the high priest. If he had told the facts plainly, Ahimelech would have known what to do to preserve his life. God requires his people to tell the truth, even in the greatest peril. Doeg, chief of Saul's herders, was fulfilling his vows in the place of worship. When David saw this man, he was determined to quickly find another place of safety. He asked Ahimelech for a sword, and was told that he had none, except the sword of Goliath, kept as a relic in the tabernacle. David replied, "There is none like it. Give it to me." David fled to Achish, king of Gath, because he felt that there was more safety among the enemies of his people than in Saul's kingdom. But someone told Achish that David was the man who had killed the Philistine champion years before. This put David, who was seeking safety among these enemies of Israel, in great danger. But pretending to be insane, he deceived his enemies and was able to escape. David's first mistake was to distrust God at Nob, his second to deceive Achish. As trials came upon him, his faith was shaken and human weakness appeared. Everyone looked like a spy and a betrayer to him. As he was hunted and persecuted, perplexity and distress nearly hid his heavenly Father from his sight. Every failure on the part of the children of God is because of their lack of faith. When shadows cloud the soul, we must look up. There is light beyond the darkness. David should not have distrusted God. He was the Lord's anointed. If he had just stopped dwelling on his distressing situation and had thought of God's power and majesty, he would have had peace even in the middle of the shadows of death. David sought safety in the mountains of Judah. He escaped to the cave of Adullam, a place that he could defend with a small force even against a large army. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. The family of David could not feel secure knowing that at any time Saul's unreasonable suspicions might be directed against them because of their relation to David. They had now learned what was becoming generally known in Israel, that God had chosen David as the future ruler of his people, and they believed that they would be safer with him. In the cave of Adullam, the family was united in sympathy and affection. The son of Jesse could make music with his voice and harp. He had tasted the bitterness of distrust from his own brothers, and the harmony that now replaced this discord brought joy to the exile's heart. Many people had lost confidence in the ruler of Israel. for they could see that he was no longer guided by the Spirit of the Lord. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, gathered to David, and he became captain over them. And there were about 400 men with him. David had a little kingdom of his own here, where there was order and discipline. But he was far from safe, for he had ongoing evidence that the king had not given up his murderous purpose. When a warning of danger came from a prophet of the Lord, David fled from his hiding place to the forest of Hereth. God was giving David a course of discipline to fit him to become a wise general, as well as a just and merciful king. Saul had been preparing to trap David in the cave of Adullam, and when it was discovered that David had left this hiding place, the king was furious. David's escape was a mystery. Had traitors in his camp informed the son of Jesse of his plans? King Saul orders a terrible massacre. Saul told his counselors that a conspiracy had been formed against him, and he bribed them with the offer of rich gifts and honor to reveal who among his people had befriended David. Doeg the Edomite had become an informer. Moved by ambition and greed, and by hatred of the priest who had reproved his sins, Doeg reported David's visit to Ahimelech in such a way that would ignite Saul's anger against the man of God. Insane with rage, Saul declared that the whole family of the priest should die, not only Ahimelech, but the members of his father's house. 85 men who wore a linen ephod were killed at the king's command by the murderous hand of Doeg. This is what Saul could do under the control of Satan. This deed filled all Israel with horror. The king whom they had chosen had committed this outrage. The ark was with them, but the priests, to whom they went for spiritual counsel, were killed with the sword. What would come next?